to the Florida Building Commission's existing building inspection work group meeting of October 4th, 2022. Just a quick reminder about virtual participation. Be aware of background noise. Please keep yourself muted. Do not put yourself on hold if you're using a phone. Please wait to speak until you're offered to speak. Opportunities will be offered. Please state your name each time you speak, and work group members, when making motions and seconding motions, please state your name when you make it second the motion. All right, well, let's go ahead and do a roll call and make sure we have a quorum. Commissioner Schock?
Here.
All right. Is Heather Anesta on? Okay, I understand that Troy Bishop, you're here to serve as her alternate. We just got an email from her saying that she was going to try to participate, but in any event, I'll mark her as present. We view it participating as alternate. If she gets on, then she can take over.
Yes, sir, correct.
All right. Joe Belcher?
Here.
William Bracken?
I am here.
Good. Commissioner Compton?
Here.
Ann Cope? All right, Jamie Gascon?
Here.
All right. We understand that John Gatlin will not be here. He's been deployed for the hurricane, so we'll make the note. Commissioner Gross?
I'm here.
Dan Laverich? Okay. Mark Michelson?
Here.
All right, and I believe Tom Sputo is here as Craig Prina designated alternate. Tom, are you on?
Yes, I am here.
Very good. Mike Savage? Mike, are you on? All right. Angela Shadle?
I'm here.
Very good. Commissioner Schiffer, Brad?
I'm on.
Okay, Commissioner Swope, Brian, I believe he's there. Are you here, Brian?
I'm here. Yep. Here.
David, I'm sorry. Right on. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 of 16 members present. And I see Heather has joined us. Okay. So that still keeps the count at 13. So we do have a quorum. Very good. So next order of business is to identify, we have from DVPR in alphabetical order, Tom Campbell, Sabrina Evans, Jim Hammers, Mo Madani, and Justin Vogel. And today's agenda is a quick review of the work plan to review and accept the building length, the options that Heather submitted regarding a phase two trigger. We also received another comment, which I'll bring up when we get to it, to see whether you want to consider amending one of the options that was submitted by Thomas Wynett. And then will be to take any comments you have on the report and then to approve your recommendations to the commission. And I'll frame the motion at the time. Talk about next steps in preparation for assignment two. Take any additional public or work group or staff member comments. Unless there's any questions on that, is there a motion to approve the meeting agenda as it was posted by name?
Laverich, move to approve as posted.
Belcher, second.
We have a motion and a second from Laverich and Belcher, respectively. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? It's unanimous. We have two meeting minutes, the August 9th, 2022, and the September 13th, 2022 minutes. Unless there's any revisions or corrections, is there a motion to accept those two reports, those 2 minutes as they were posted?
Laverich, move to approve both as posted.
Belcher, second.
Motion and second to approve both minutes. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. Mo, did you want to do anything on the work plan?
This is Mo Madani. Good morning. Just very quickly, not much. As you see from the work plan is posted on the agenda. If you go, we have two assignments, assignment one and assignment two. and assignment one, which we have been working on for since mainly July 14th. As you see, the work on it and the progress and where we are is all on target. And as of today, which is this October 4th, that we have the actions or the recommendations mainly to finalize and forward those to the commission for consideration at the October 11 meeting. After that, we will be talking about assignment two, and as stated in the work plan, assignment two, the Florida Building Commission just consults with the state fire marshal to provide recommendations to legislature for the adoption of comprehensive structural and life safety standard for maintaining and inspecting all type of buildings. That's really the plan, is to start that in January of next year. We have a year to do that. Those recommendations are to be completed and forwarded by December 31st, 2023. So we will, you know, have any question about the work plan, the next step and all that, please do ask. Otherwise, that's all what I have for you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Mo. Mr. Hammers, if you would please allow me to share the screen. Presume that you are seeing my screen. Jim, are you seeing my screen?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
We're seeing your screen. Okay, Jeff.
Thanks. Just wanted to make sure. Okay. At our last meeting, you voted unanimously to adopt those consensus-based recommendations for inclusion in the report to the commission. We also agreed at that time that that Heather would provide an option for triggers for phase two inspections, but that's for section five, the inspection standards checklist component. As you know, Heather provided six options that begin on page eight of the worksheet. So we'll go through those, let Heather sort of explain her thinking on that, make a recommendation, and then you can decide which, if any, to use or approve and to add to the report. In addition, we did receive a comment that was posted yesterday from Thomas Winnett, and he's asked that on Section 5, Option 5, which was a consensus-level option, to add a number 7 to that, which is some additional protocols that can be used for those inspections, which I'll review with you when we get to it. You can decide whether you want to consider or not. That's your choice as a group. And then after that, we'll ask if you have any comments regarding the Florida Building Commission's recommendations on milestone inspection requirements report. And then I would at the end of that, I would ask for a motion to adopt the work group final package of consensus-ranked options and to recommend the commission approve the draft Florida Building Commission's recommendations on milestone structural inspection requirements incorporating the existing building inspection and work group's recommendations. So that would be the last action we take, and then we'll review next steps for following this process. So with that, unless there's any questions on that sort of procedurally, I will just jump right into it, and this document has been
Hey, Jeff, it's Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
That Dr. Bridge is on the call, and if Mo can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think she was going to talk about her research project, or at least where they are right now. It was part of the background information.
I saw that. I just assumed that was a document that was posted, but okay.
Hi, I'm here. I do just have a few slides that I was going to share, if I may.
Okay.
All right.
Jim, do I need to... Okay, Jim can do that again. What happened?
And then who is it that's needing this? Who is it that needs the, if she'd speak up, I can find her.
Yeah, I don't have screen sharing abilities yet.
It's Jennifer.
Jennifer Bridge.
Bridge, yeah.
All right. So we've got a phase two project. I think most of you heard the results of our first phase. But the first, let me just get to where I can advance these slides. Apologies. The first task we had in our project was to get feedback from inspectors on Senate Bill 4D and, you know, just kind of get their input. And so we aren't quite done with the task, but given kind of how things are marching along, I thought it might be a good idea to give you some preliminary results from that. So I'm just going to summarize the results of the interviews we've done to date. There's a lot of information here. I'm just going to go through it fairly quickly and hit the highlights. We've interviewed 10 inspectors so far. These are all folks that have, you know, 15 to 30 years experience. All but one are engineers. We had one architect. Some are SIs. Most were very familiar with the legislation. Some are already doing reserve study inspections, so they had some thoughts on that. So I'm just going to go through some of their comments related to, this isn't covering all the questions I asked, but again, just hitting the high points. So, you know, we asked about non-exempt definition. Almost all of them said that all building uses should be considered. It shouldn't be limited to condos and co-ops. In terms of the number of stories, some indicated that lower-rise buildings obviously can still have safety issues and that milestone inspections could address these. So there were some that thought considering fewer than three stories might be of merit. In terms of the distance to the coast, most asked where 3 miles came from, so they kind of questioned whether that was arbitrary or what was kind of backing that up in terms of science. Some indicated that really the main issue is, you know, as we all know, components that are directly on the salt, you know, saltwater, the ocean, intercoastal, and especially for those portions of the building that are exposed, you know, whether those balconies, parking garages, pool decks, that type of thing, that's almost a separate category that may warrant earlier or more often inspections just because of the high levels of deterioration, how quickly it can happen. Most in terms of the age of interior of initiation of the inspections, 25, 30 years, most felt that was reasonable. One did have the suggestion that earlier and initial inspections may actually be less costly in the long run because it promotes maintenance that can stop challenges from becoming more costly maintenance issues. And most felt that the 10-year interval was reasonable. In terms of the definition of structural deterioration, most of the respondents, you know, liked the fact that it was broad enough that it left it up to the discretion of the engineer. Again, the definition of the phase one inspection was reasonable to most, leaving it up to engineering discretion. Some felt that some more specific language at this stage might be important. There was several that questioned why, you know, inspection of windows, waterproofing, sealants, you know, why that's not included specifically in the phase one description, especially because for the reserve study inspections, it is required, and there were some questions about how to kind of reconcile those two inspection types, which I'll get to in just a moment. The trigger for phase two, there was a lot of discussion about the idea of what is a superficial issue, and most agreed that spalling, you know, is an issue even if it seems superficial at first. It's indicative of or can very quickly lead to structural issues. And again, there was a lot of question about, you know, well, what if we see, you know, compromised ceiling or waterproofing or issues with windows? You know, these aren't necessarily substantial structural deterioration issues, but they very much require repair. And they can certainly lead to issues in the future. So this question of kind of how phase two is triggered, if it's not necessarily substantial structural deterioration, but there are issues that need to be addressed. And do repairs, even if they're just for, you know, some of these issues, does that trigger a phase two? So there are a lot of questions about that. In terms of the description of the phase two inspection, some requested more detailed language. And really the thought here is that the language is not so that the engineers know what to do, but so that they have the ability to go to the owners and the boards and say, here's what we have to do. So it's as much to guide, to convince the boards of the necessity as it is to guide the engineers. And so they were hoping that there might be some more specific language on what type of access and what type of extent of the phase two might need to happen. We discussed kind of methods for phase two. There was some discussion whether, you know, NDT or destructive testing is required, and they kind of gave me lists of some of the more common testing that they did, GPR core samples, and that type of thing. In terms of the challenges they see for phase two, the most common challenges that were expressed were regarding obtaining adequate access from the property managers or boards, and resistance by owners to removing finishes. Also the issue of owners that may not be present, they have to get permission to enter the property, especially for those that don't live there full time. And, you know, one thing that came up a few times was this issue of finding unpermitted work that's kind of inevitably discovered during these more in-depth inspections, and just kind of how do they address that in the process. You know, do they have to address it specifically? Most felt that the public posting of the report is great. Some suggested redacting the engineer contact information, though I'm sure they could be found if they wanted to be. There were a lot of comments related to enforcement. Most feel that the building departments really need to be proactive in the enforcement and stringent with follow-up. The timeline for repairs, many felt that 1 year is too long to start repairs if an issue is critical. Needs to be addressed and may require immediate shoring and repair. You can always ask for extensions, but if the bar is set out too far, then, you know, there's some concern that necessary repairs won't be started in a timely manner, and there was some concern with that. In terms of inspector qualifications, most were not comfortable with architects conducting inspections, especially phase two, where repair and shoring design may be involved. There was pretty good consensus that minimum experience should be required, for example, 5 to 10 years or a certain number of buildings, and, you know, certainly that you've got some structural background and understanding of design there. Some other comments, one comment I got almost consistently was, please, 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 we need a consistent inspection form. If there's a different form for every jurisdiction in the state, that's just going to have a lot of potential for chaos. If there's any way, then that could be addressed. There was a request there. And I mentioned this earlier, some questioned how the reserve study inspections relate to the milestone inspections in terms of when they're conducted. Can one take the place, you know, can one inspection be used for both reserve study and milestone? You know, if you just had a reserve study, you know, a few years ago and now you're having a milestone, it seems like this could be burdensome to the owners. And, you know, who conducts them and whether, yeah, like I said, whether the inspection can fulfill both requirements. And I mentioned earlier some slightly different requirements in these inspections, with the reserve study requiring kind of looking at waterproofing and windows and things like that. And really just kind of reconciling the two processes was something that came up. I want to just mention one more thing, going back to the phase one versus phase two. Some folks were concerned that it put kind of an artificial gap in between something, at least for the 40-year inspections in Dayton Broward, that just kind of happens automatically now, and they didn't want to kind of create this kind of artificial gap in addressing issues by having kind of the two phases and the trigger from one to the other, that if there is an emergency, if you do need shoring, that there's the ability to be able to do that in a timely manner. So that's all the summary of the interview so far. I just wanted to share this, maybe a little bit late in your process, but I appreciate you giving me the time to express this.
Thanks, Jennifer. Does anybody, any work group members have any questions about Jennifer's report? Great. Well, I think it's interesting that all of those items have been well discussed here, so I think they work well together, so that's really helpful. Okay. Jim, if you would allow me to share the screen, please. Okay. So as we were, as we discussed at the last meeting, the group has approved the consensus level supported option. Heather had agreed to put together some phase two trigger options for consideration. So that's where we'll go in the worksheet. And you're certainly welcome to follow along with your own worksheet. So let's see, that's five. Yep. So we have I believe, six options that Heather provided regarding trigger for phase two inspections, and I'll let Heather sort of go ahead and explain that, and then we can discuss.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, great. So I'm operating on a headset. I'm deployed right now over on the west coast of Florida at the Barrier Islands as a first responder. So just to preface, before I get into this, I could at any moment get called out to and tasked with something, and I'll have to abruptly drop. So I've asked Troy Bishop to be here as my alternate, and he'll basically just pick up where I left off to continue so that it doesn't affect the work group. So if at any time I lose connectivity or you can't hear me, try to let me know. And if I don't come back, Troy, please just come on and continue. So that being said, I'll try to get right to the point because I know we have a lot to do today. As you all remember, we discussed the phase two trigger needing to update the language that's currently adopted in the Florida statute and the Florida Building Code so that we have an additional phase two trigger other than phase one finding substantial structural deterioration. And that's mostly because there are inherent conditions that could prevent an inspector from finding substantial structural deterioration during phase one. So in order to safeguard the public and also safeguard the milestone inspectors and the buildings officials, I've proposed some language here that would automatically trigger, it would trigger a phase two inspection if the milestone inspector deems that those conditions prevent them from determining or observing signs of distress or substantial structural deterioration. So I've proposed five essential options, and those five options vary from a very specific addition into the language to a very broad addition into the language. It's my perspective as both a practicing inspector and assessor, as well as a forensic expert who might come in on the back end to determine who was at fault for something, that option one, which is presented here as option A, would be the most appropriate because it, number one, gives the autonomy to the milestone inspector to determine if any of the following conditions are present and would prevent a visual qualitative examination of the building from observing signs of substantial structural deterioration. But it also simultaneously safeguards the public, milestone inspector, and building official because it lists specifically the conditions that they would be considering, and it prevents any misinterpretation by a reader if the language is too broad. So that being said, in my personal opinion, and we can all decide this by consensus, if the first option passes, we probably don't need to go into the more broad options. And what I mean by passes, I mean gains consensus. But if you'd like to go through all five of them just to see where the consensus lies, we can do that. The sixth option that Jeff was mentioning is essentially to then further update the phase two section and the reporting section to just address the changes that have been made to the phase one section. So phase two would be triggered by substantial structural deterioration and or phase one triggers, right? And then for reporting, we would want them to list what items would have triggered a phase two if deemed appropriate by the milestone inspector. So that's it in a nutshell for what this is doing. I've provided a document that's linked in the agenda that provides background information as well as further description. So I really want everyone to understand that as a practicing inspector and assessor and as a practicing forensic engineer, the language as it's currently written does not effectively trigger phase two. We need to do something in this language to address this issue, and I'm hoping that one of these five options will gain consensus so that we can safeguard the public and our profession. So with that, we can go with option A, I think, as you have it written. Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong because I'm working off my phone. Yeah,
yes,
A.
That's correct.
So this is the copy-paste of the language. This is the copy-paste of the language from the Florida State statute and Florida Building Code. I've only added language to this. I haven't proposed taking anything out, and all of the added language is underlined. You'll notice that some of the language is bolded. The bolded portion is what changes between the five options, okay? All the underlined language is what's proposed to be added. So in this first option, we're basically adding that in cases where during phase one, the milestone inspector determines that any of the following conditions are present and that such conditions prevent a visual qualitative examination of the building for signs of substantial structural deterioration, then a phase two inspection per the next section is required in order for the milestone inspector to further conduct exploration, analysis, and or testing as needed, e.g. GPR, removal of drywall, computational analysis, load testing, etc. And then the items that are listed are essentially the items we discussed last time, except for that I revised it based on feedback from our last meeting. I took out the word as-built. I put absence of construction documents. Now remember, this is if the milestone inspector determines that that prevents them from doing the assessment. So if you're in a three-story wood frame building and you feel that the absence of construction documents doesn't prevent you from doing the visual inspection, that's still left up to the milestone inspector. So the idea here is not to force people into phase two unnecessarily. The idea is to safeguard the situations that could deem a structure sound when it's actually unsound, such as the item number C or letter C or B. If the owners paint, stucco, coat, or otherwise improve the building right before the inspection, and they do that in an undocumented manner, you might not be able to see signs of distress such as cracks or openings or things of that nature. So I could read it, but I think you guys have all had it. We went through it last time. These are, I'm hoping that even though we're listing specific things here, you guys can see that as helping safeguard us from misinterpretation of what we're saying. And everything goes back to the milestone inspector's autonomy.
Okay, thanks, Heather. I think that's clear. So I think the approach is the work group can will ask some questions. I'll take it. If anybody wants to make public comment on any of these five options, I think that the option F or the sixth one is essentially one that would go with any of these if any of these are approved. It just basically incorporates the language into the right section. So if the group agrees and we discuss option A and it has consensus, then we can skip the other options because this is the more stringent of those options, if you will, or the more specific would be a better term. Then we can skip down to option F, which is what would be added to any of the ones if they reach consensus. So is that an agreeable approach to you, work group members? We'll see how this one lands and then we can decide, move down through there. So does any work group member first have any questions, something you don't understand about this option, that you don't understand what it means, basically, a clarifying question only? Okay. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on any of this package of options A through F? This is your one chance to speak on these options before we go back to the work group to discuss it. Anybody from the public wish to speak on these options?
This is Tom Grogan. I'd like to speak on it for just a moment.
Okay, Tom, go ahead.
Okay, so I was not at the last meeting, so forgive me if I ask anything that looks a little redundant. So I'm looking at what Heather put together here for option A, and things that would trigger, that the milestone inspector could say is a trigger. The use of the term undocumented, prior repairs and stuff, and undocumented painting and things like that. If it's all undocumented, how is the inspector going to know that those things even exist in the first place? My comment basically is, I understand the absence of construction documents and existing conditions that look different, but I really feel like a lot of this stuff should just be left to the the engineer. But again, I wasn't part of, I didn't listen to the discussion.
Right. I have an answer for you, Tom. So right now, the way that it is, you never get to GPR, exploratory, removal of drywall. You don't get to any of that in phase one. Phase one's just visual and any sort of historical research that you can do. So specifically your question is, if it's undocumented, how do we know it exists? Well, in any visual qualitative inspection, you interview building managers, you interview occupants, you do historical aerial research, you do street view research. It's possible that you can find these conditions. And then if you say, oh, I noticed that you did this, do you have anything to say about it? Were there any cracks? If they start to say, oh, there's a big crack here, but we close the whole thing up, right? And you start to find that you don't know yet if there's substantial structural deterioration, but you have to get into that non-destructive or destructive testing. This is a way to safeguard that engineer to say, okay, great. So my conclusion of phase one is there are these open-ended items. We need to now close this scope, go to the next scope of phase two. And it sort of safeguards everybody into making sure that when phase one is straightforward, which I think is going to be, you know, generally 80% of the time, it's going to serve its purpose. But when phase one gets a little muddy, it's a very clear way to send people into the next phase so that they can do the appropriate non-destructive and destructive testing. Now, the way that I've encountered that, Tom, is the language here. In cases where during phase one, the following conditions are found to be present, and that such conditions prevent the inspection of phase as it's written. So the hope is that this is what clearly organizes and keeps phase one as visual qualitative and phase two as written.
Okay, so let's let Tom, go ahead, Tom, you want to continue with...
Okay, so, all right, Heather, I appreciate that. I guess just my opinion is, and this may be differing, but I think we should be able to leave more of that to the engineer than have to be very descriptive in how we write it. If the work group has already decided they want more descriptive stuff, like has been written here, I'm not going to be opposed to it. I just wonder if it's necessary to spell all that out. So that's, I think that's my only comment. And then if I can say something on item F really quick, even though I know we're going to get to that. The very end of it says the inspection report must at a minimum meet all the following criteria. I think all that information is repeated again down in the local government reporting option. So whether it needs to be stated there or not, I'm not sure. But,
well, just to be clear, that's not relative to this.
Heather, please wait till I call on you, please. Go ahead, Tom. Finish your comment.
That's my comment. I personally... today I'm representing Florida Structural Engineers as well as the Surfside Work Group. I've talked with Alan Douglas about it, and we'd probably be more in favor of a more broad condition trigger, but I certainly understand where this is coming from. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. Any other members of the public wish to comment? Great.
My name is S.K. Ghosh. If I can be given an opportunity for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, you have 3 minutes. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I head the building code consulting arm of ICC. I would like to speak in favor of the amendment that Heather has proposed. Specifically, the first option. I think it is needed to make sure that buildings that require phase two inspection actually do undergo phase two inspection. I agree with things that Heather said in support. I am of an opinion that is kind of opposite to what Tom was suggesting. I would rather have more specifics than leave it to the discretion of the engineer and so forth. Now, this is my personal personal opinion. ICC has not formed an opinion with respect to this amendment or the other amendments. ICC, however, is working with ASCE to develop baseline guidance and minimum requirements, including checklists for the mandatory milestone inspections. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Is there any other member of the public who wishes to comment at this time? Okay, then let's come back to our work group. Appreciate the input that we received. I think it was all for helpful. Work group members, do anybody have any questions or comments you want to make before we rank this? Feel free to state your name and go ahead.
Jeff, I have a comment.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, Jim, go ahead.
Lambert, can I have a comment also?
All right, Dan, I'll put you down. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm going to make two quick comments. First of all, I do agree with Tom. I think this is overreaching somewhat. You know, taking down the drywall, how much of it do you take down? I mean, do we strip the whole building out so we can see everything? I don't think that's the intent of what was going on here. I don't believe requiring a phase two inspection due to some incomplete records is the intent of the legislation either. Unless there are signs of structural distress, that's the important part of the language. These buildings have been standing for at least 25 years. And if the work appears to be without a permit, the phase one report should report that kind of stuff to the building official. The building official has a lot of influence, a lot of power in this situation. You know, they can require them to go and get that work permitted. They can require the inspections. They can require all that. It shouldn't necessarily trigger a phase two inspection in my belief. Let's see here. The issue of it can be done to the building department. The key thing is here is you have to see the structural distress, and it needs to be visible. I don't think we can be tearing down all the drywall in the building and all that. I think the building's been standing for 25 years, and if it doesn't show any distress, I think that's the important part of the whole thing. And that's my, and I'm going to stand on that kind of comment probably for most.
Am I able to answer the question, Jeff, there? Because there's misconception here.
No, not at this time. This is a discussion. Please wait. I don't want to get into a debate back and forth. I think you very clearly and articulately made your point, and let's let the work group discuss it, and you can have another opportunity to speak as well, but I don't want to respond to each comment. So you'll get a chance before we vote on it, but I want to hear from our other members. Dan, go ahead.
All right, thank you. I have great agreement with Tom and Jim and in some of their comments. The thing that concerns me is that there seems to be a move to make this program into a cookbook, and I don't think that's what we should be doing. The concept of requiring so many specific issues for the inspection is, it's, you know, let the engineer do his or her job. I can design a 50-story or unlimited-sized building with no guidance, with no checklists, with no specific items that I have to dot I's and cross T's and so forth. I don't have a cookbook to tell me how to do that. Why do I need a cookbook to tell me how to inspect a building? I think that the conceptual guidance is good. I think there should be conceptual guidance, and I think that's what we have so far. But when you start getting into specific guidance, where it becomes specific mandatories, I somewhat take exception to that. I don't think that's what we need to do. And Tom alluded to that, and Jim also, and I'm agreement with that. I think, you know, we have engineers that are, you know, qualified, Let them do their job. Sometimes it seems that, you know, we're trying to make these inspections more detailed and more complicated. Is there a reason for that? Is it to increase fees? Is it to increase scope? I hope that's not the case, but that's what it's going to do. And is it necessary? I think that the engineer that is inspecting the building should be able to make those determinations as to how far to go and just exactly what needs to be done. Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. All right, does any other work group member wish to speak on this one?
This is Tom Sputo. As I read what Heather put here, what I'm seeing is that it finding any of these things does not require the milestone inspector to absolutely call for a phase two. But what this does is it allows the inspector to have more weight behind themselves if they decide that that what they're seeing calls for a phase two. I think any of us that have done building inspections have run into instances with, to put it kind of nicely, obstinate owners or building occupants that are trying to not uncover what reality may be. And while I'm not a big proponent of checklists, at least having these things here would allow, through the code, the inspector to say, I have misgivings about what I'm seeing here, and I believe that this thing does need a phase two inspection. But being able to point to one of these specific items makes it easier for the phase for the inspector to not get tremendous blowback and have something to stand on. Again, like I said, I'm not really in favor of checklists, but I see this as giving more meat, more backing to the inspector that's doing the phase one that really believes a phase two should occur.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Work group members, anybody else? Okay.
This is Jamie.
Yes. Jamie, go ahead.
If I could just say something real quick. You know, I'm kind of a proponent of a middle ground in this matter. I think a very detailed list to the inspector may be more than necessary, and some engineers might even find it offensive. Well, why do I only need to look at those things to trigger a number two? So I agree with Tom, Jim, and Dan that, you know, this may be an overextensive list, but maybe a middle ground, like an option C or B, then might be more to the point as to what it seems to be leaning towards. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jamie. All right, any other work group member? Okay, Heather, did you want to say something before we rank this?
Yes, first off, thank you all for the feedback. Also, I agree with everything everyone just said. None of the five options that I've presented mandate the inspector to do anything. They don't mandate any destructive testing. They don't mandate any removal of drywall. All this is saying that if the inspector finds that they can't, so it's all the powers in with the inspector. If the inspector finds that they can't determine substantial structural deterioration without doing something that is actually allocated in the written statute and code as being in phase two, that they are allowed to trigger phase two. That's all this is. And so it's to prevent blowback, similar to what Tom Sputo mentioned, and it's also to keep the power with the inspector to not mandate anything else in phase one and to give them all of the power and authority to determine what's important. And the list here is simply to give some guidelines so that there's no misinterpretation from being too broad that someone missed something. So that's the intent. I actually agree with all the feedback that everyone gave, and I hope that this clarifying statement helps you guys helps you all be able to see the way that this language is proposed to be written. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. Okay, Tom Campbell, I presume you're ready with the spreadsheet, so I'm going to go ahead and by name ask each person to give their ranking. You ready, Tom?
Yes.
Great. Chairman Schock, what would you rank it, a 4, 3, 2, or a 1?
1.
A 1, okay. Heather, what would you rank it?
4.
All right. Joe Belcher, what would you rank it?
1.
A 1, okay. William Bracken?
1.
Dave Compton?
A 2.
All right. I presume Ann's still not here. Then I'll go to Jamie.
I'd give it a 2.
Okay.
Actually, I have made it.
Okay,
I've actually made it to the meeting, and I've caught up with Eric Stafford by messaging to make sure I had some input, and I would rank it as a 2.
All right, so let's put down Ann for a 2. Very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jeff Gross.
Number 1.
Okay. Dan Laverich.
1 with a comment.
All righty. Mark.
2.
Tom for Craig.
4.
All right. I don't know, Mike Savage, have you joined yet? Okay. Angela?
A 2.
Brad? I'm sorry, Brian. Brad, are you on still, Brad Schiffer?
Sorry, I muted 2 also.
All right, 2, and Brian?
I'll go 1.
A 1. Clearly that's not going to make it, so what's their average time? Maybe a 1.8 or 9?
Good guess, Jeff. The 1.86.
It was more than a guess. Come on. All right. Okay, so Dan, go ahead, and then we'll move on to the next one.
Yeah, just a quick comment. I'd like to point out, I thought everybody should understand, and I think most people understand, the inspector already has the ability to make the decisions that Heather was talking about. The inspector has that power. You don't have to give it to the engineer. The engineer already has that power. Enough said. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, I think those points have all been well made, and it's good to reiterate it. All right, well then I guess we can move into B, which is the specific load trigger. Does anybody have any questions from the work group? The public's already commented on all of these. Any clarifying questions or any comments on it before we rank it? I think we heard the explanation as well already.
Yes, a clarifying comment. Currently, phase 2 is only triggered by finding substantial structural deterioration in phase 1. If phase 1 does not find substantial structural deterioration, you cannot do phase 2 the way that this is written. So the power is not in the engineer to trigger phase 2 unless they determine substantial structural deterioration. So this specific load trigger says it, and the remaining triggers are essentially giving the power to the engineer to trigger phase 2 before deciding if there's substantial structural deterioration. So they aren't unnecessarily labeling a building as substantially deteriorated when they don't have to be. So that's the clarifying comment. Thank you.
Okay. All right, does any other work group member have a comment? Otherwise, I'll go ahead and start the ranking. All right, Commissioner Schock, what's your score, 4, 3, 2, or 1?
1, and I'll stand on my previous comments.
Okay. Heather?
4.
All right, Joe?
2.
Bill?
3.
Dave?
I'm going to stay with a 2.
Ann?
Oh, sorry, I was having trouble with the mute button. I'm giving it a 2. Thank you.
Sure. Jamie?
A 3.
Jeff?
A 1.
Dan?
One.
Mark.
Two.
Tom.
Four.
So I don't see Mike Savage, so I'll jump to Angela.
Two.
Brad.
Two.
And Brian.
One.
All right. Tom, with it's about 2.01.
2.14.
Okay. All right, so that didn't achieve it either. Let's go on to option C. Heather, you want to say a quick word, another quick word on this before I get other comments?
Yes, so this one becomes more broad, and it's a what I would call a condition trigger. So if there's a condition that prevents the phase one from determining substantial structural deterioration, such as undocumented prior repairs and renovations or inadequate building historical information. So if the phase one inspector needs that information to determine if it is or isn't substantially structurally deteriorated, they are allowed to trigger phase two.
Okay. Any other work group member have any questions or comments? All right. Commissioner Schock, what did you rank it? 4, 3, 2, or 1?
1. Same reason.
Heather?
4.
Joe?
2.
Bill?
3.
Dave?
2.
Ann?
Put it, dang mute button. We're still talking about option B and not option C yet, is that correct?
No, we're on option C now, Ann.
Okay, option C, I'm sorry, is a 3.
Okay. Jamie?
A 4.
Okay. Jeff?
1.
Dan?
1.
Mark?
3.
Tom?
4.
Angela?
3.
Brad?
3.
Ryan?
2.
All right, it's going to be too close to call on this one, so I'll let Tom go ahead and give us the score.
2.57.
Yeah, I thought it was wrong there. Okay, didn't quite make it. Then let's go on to D. And we have there's two more options. So option D. Go ahead, Heather. Quick word on that one.
Sure. So this one would be a broad context trigger, so more broad than the last option. In this case, if the milestone inspector determines that the building's condition, history, or layout prevent phase one from determining substantial structural deterioration, then they are able to trigger phase two to complete that determination. So this is just very broad, still in the hands of the milestone inspector to determine this or not.
Okay. Any questions or comments from work group members? Okay, Jim, what would you give it?
1.
Heather?
4.
Joe?
1.
Bill?
3.
Dave?
3.
Ann?
2. I like C better.
All right. Jamie?
3.
Jeff?
1.
Dan?
1.
Mark?
2.
Tom?
4.
Angela?
2.
Brad?
2.
Brian?
1.
Alright, I have to do something, but I'm not sure what.
I have a 2.23.
That's all right. All right. This is the last one in this sequence.
Okay. So to clarify, this is our last chance to vote on this today. If none of these get a 3.0, then the language stays as is. and the inspector has no power to trigger a phase two unless they determine and label a building as substantially structurally deteriorated based on a visual walkthrough inspection. So this is, at this point, none of these have gained consensus. So whether you like one, two, three, or four better, if we don't get language in here today, it does not become a recommendation. This is the broadest trigger. It literally just says that if the milestone inspector determines that a visual qualitative examination of the building is not sufficient to determine signs of the substantial structural deterioration, then a phase two inspection can be done. So this is as broad as it can get, but again, if it doesn't get in there, there's no other trigger for phase two except for labeling a building based on a walkthrough as substantially structurally deteriorated. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. Any comments or questions from work group members before we rank?
Leverage.
Yes, Dan.
Yeah, I have a question and a comment. The comments we keep getting this that if unless certain things are determined by the inspecting engineer, you can't do a phase two inspection or you can't go further. The way I read it is that the determination of substantial structural deterioration is what requires a phase two inspection, but I don't see where it says that the engineer can't do further inspections. In fact, it would seem to me that an inspecting engineer, if that engineer finds any indications that anything requires additional inspections, that engineer has the power to require those additional inspections or to do those additional inspections. I think the issue that has been stated in the program so far is what requires the phase two inspection, not what allows it. So just a clarifying issue there, or misunderstanding on somebody's part.
Play a comment. Okay, very good. All right, any other questions or comments from work group members?
Spew out your comment.
All right, Tom and then Joe.
I'm going to continue on with the point that unless the language provides something that the inspector can definitely use to bolster their case that, well, I didn't necessarily find the substantial damage, but I can't rule it out, therefore I need to continue on. There's going to be problems. We're talking about big money that's going to be involved with some of these buildings and some of these inspections, and unless the inspector has the written language behind them that specifically says that they have the ability to do this, not the implied, not the implication that they can, but unless there's specific language, this is going to make some inspectors' lives really difficult. Thank you.
Okay.
Leverage, can I comment on that?
Well, hold on a second. I'm going to follow the list, but then I'll get you after Joe. Joe, go ahead.
I don't need to comment after Tom's comment.
Okay, go ahead then, Dan.
Yeah, you talk about whether there's language that allows the engineer to do additional inspections. There's nothing in there that says that the engineer can't do additional inspections. The language that's written is to whether or not the additional inspections are required, not whether or not they can do them. It doesn't say that you can't do them. So my opinion that an engineer has a responsibility to do whatever is necessary to reasonably ensure the safety of the building and to come to the necessary conclusion. So nothing says the engineer can't do it.
Okay.
I have a clarifying comment if we're done.
Well, okay, it's just a comment. Go ahead.
Yes, the clarifying comment is, again, in the required status, in the situation where people are going by the required status, as it's written in the statute and the code, it is only required to do a phase two, if you label the structure as substantially structurally deteriorated in phase one, this broad option is going to give the power to the milestone inspector to trigger that phase two if it is appropriate as deemed by them. There is no language that will allow you to go to phase two without labeling the structure as substantially structurally deteriorated, as written.
Right. Okay. I think, you know, we've heard both sides of that. Dan's perspective or others, some's perspective is that the engineer has authority and doesn't meet a requirement. And we understand that your concern that this is really helpful, so have others expressed that. So for that, let's go ahead and rank this one. So this is the last one in the series, and I think Heather made her point about whether, you know, feeling that one of these should be used. Well, I'll leave that to the group to decide. Jim, what's your vote?
Four.
Okay. Heather?
Four.
Okay. Joe?
Three.
Okay. Bill?
Four.
Dave?
Four.
Okay. Ann?
I have to give it a two.
Okay. Jamie?
Three.
Two.
Dan.
One.
Mark.
Three.
Tom.
Four.
Okay. I think Mike's still not here. Angela.
Three.
Brad.
Three.
And Brian.
Two.
All right. That's going to be close. So, Tom?
I have a 2.86.
Yeah, I thought it was just under. All right. Okay, well, that's where these lie at this point, so there's no need for us to take on option F at this point. So there was, what did I do? Another proposal that came in, and I don't know where I did with it, but I think it's up here. Okay. It's up to you as a group if you want to take this up. This was submitted by Thomas Winant yesterday. I don't see Tom here. So what he was proposing, you have an option five, which did achieve consensus, which is for phase two when testing and at the discretion of design professional, blah, blah. He's proposed that to add to this list of protocols, I sort of put it as a seven, and non-destructive test and low test referenced in ASC 1199 in future approved methods. So it wouldn't be an exclusive list, but would also include these as options to this. So the work group members, do you want to consider amending this particular option?
Jeff, I'd like to have a comment, if I may.
Sure.
I don't think it's bad, but I don't think we should be listed. I think we should just change the wording to say, you know, NDT protocols for existing buildings are as follows, but have it not limited to. You know what I'm saying?
Including but not limited to, for instance?
Yeah, something like that.
So you're proposing to...
I think I could go for that.
Instead of adding what's down there, because that wouldn't be exclusive.
There's other things that are going to be coming up along the way.
Okay. How do work group members feel? Is that... You seem like a. Is that something you preferred, or do you want to rank what was proposed?
This is Bracken.
Go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to agree with Jim. I think by opening it up, we address what is intended by this comment or this request.
Okay.
Does any work group member have a problem with this, or they prefer to we can do both, so we're not limited. If you want to rank them both and see where they land, that's up to you. But if your preference is in this line, that you prefer just to add, as Jim said, to add including but not limited to this list, so that way others can be included but not to specify the other piece. So any other comments on that?
Leverage.
Yes, Dan.
I agree with Jim.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and rank Jim's, and if it has consensus, then we'll skip the other one as redundant. Unless anybody has any other questions, I'll take those first or comments, and otherwise I'll go ahead and call the vote. Okay, Jim, what do you rank it?
May I have a question? One rank, you know, the difference is the included but not limited to, how does that place it in the realm of the entire report versus what it was ranked at? What was it ranked before us?
It was ranked at a 3.08. Barely made it, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to rank it as a 4. I think it broadens the scope a little bit.
Okay. And that's a good point. What it does, this ranking will become the new ranking for this. So.
Yeah, I know what I was concerned about.
Right. Okay. Heather.
4.
Okay. Joe?
3.
Bill?
4.
Dave?
4.
Ann?
I'm trying to make sure I understand what we're voting on. We're voting on a new ranking for options 5 that is currently in the work group and adding a few words to it to say include but not limited to. Is that what you're asking me to vote on?
Yeah, so it's the option as it was revised, and the only thing that's being added is including not limited to the list that was already in. That was in there, the 6 items. So it's inclusive. Yeah.
Thank you. I was having trouble following along, bouncing back and forth between the letter. I will rank that as a 4. Thank you.
Sure. Jamie? 4. Jeff?
4.
Dan?
4.
Mark?
4.
Tom?
4.
Angela?
4.
Brad?
I'll take a 4.
And Brian?
3.
Okay. 3.75. What is it, Tom?
3.86.
All right. So this one is not ranked.
But Jeff, shouldn't we rank the other one to see if we want to add it to that list that you've now opened up?
We surely could, yes.
I think it makes sense, and they can vote it down or up. So.
Okay. So have including that limited, do you want to add this number 7 to that as a number 7 and non-destructive flow tests referenced in AC 1190A?
Comment?
Yes, Dave.
I don't think you need to add it to the list. It's wide open now with what we added.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's what Jim was alluding to, but it's fine to rank it. Well, let's just go ahead and rank it. I think it doesn't hurt to sort of clarify that, you know, we didn't just ignore it. So, Jim, what would you rank this one, adding number 7?
We already have 6, so I give it a 3. I think it's covered anyway, but...
All right. Heather?
4.
Okay. Joe?
Question. This would be an option, not a mandate, correct?
Right.
Yeah, 3.
Bill?
3.
Dave?
Like I said, I don't think it's required, but I'll do a 3.
All right. Ann?
3.
Jamie?
3.
Jeff?
3.
Dan?
3.
Mark?
3.
Tom?
4 with a comment.
Angela?
3.
Brad?
4.
And Brian? All right, well, clearly that made it. Go ahead and make your comment, Tom, while Tom gets us our ranking 3 points.
Yes, I like the reference to ASC 11. I'm not sure if we need to be tying ourselves to the 99 edition. My understanding, and I believe Heather could address it, is that the ASC is going to be picking the document back up again, and we don't want this to become dated.
Maybe what they should have said was in future, maybe what he meant was in future approved standards. I don't know.
I would echo Tom's sentiment and just have it be updated to say ASC 11 without the dash 99. If you do that, it'll just be the most updated one, or the one referenced in the building code.
If I may, I would add that that's what's been done with the other six as well, so I would agree with that as well.
Strike the 99?
Yeah.
And would you leave in future approved methods? I mean, is that needed with the previous language up above?
I don't think it's needed with the previous language up above.
All right, so would anybody, so Tom, what was the rank?
It was a 3.21.
Okay, so it wasn't as high as I thought. Okay, 3.21. So folks, with what was just discussed, would any of you who voted in either a 4 or 3, would that change your score in any way by eliminating the 99 from the ASC 11 reference and striking and future approved methods, since it's already, I'm not sure, oh, I don't know why I didn't want, and future approved methods from there. So we'll just read, and non-destructive tests and loads referenced in ASC 11. Would that alter anybody's ranking?
I would rank it higher.
All right. Okay, let's do a re-ranking real quick. Jim, what would you give it?
A 3 again.
Okay.
4.
Okay. Joe?
3.
Bill?
4.
Dave?
I'll go 4.
Ann?
4.
Jamie?
4.
Jeff?
3.
Dan?
3.
Mark?
3.
Tom?
4.
Angela?
4.
Brad?
4.
And Brian?
3.
Okay, that should raise it up pretty well.
3.57.
All right, so that's the option now leads, including but not limited to, 1 through 7, 7 being a non-destructive test and load test referenced in ASC 11. Okay, so that's all the things we received. So that's the package. And so unless there's something else someone else has, what I would ask is whether anybody has any particular, I think we kind of requested you provide those already. Does there anybody have any comments or things they want me to say about the draft for the Building Commission recommendation of milestone structure inspection requirements, which will be updated, of course, to these that were the extra two that were approved today? And what I'd be looking for is a motion to adopt the work group's final package of consensus recommendations and to recommend the commission approve the draft Board of Building Commission's recommendations on milestone structural inspection requirements, incorporating the existing building inspection work group's recommendations, which are, of course, your consensus ranked options. Anybody have any comments or any thoughts? Or a motion if you're ready.
Bill Churchill moved.
All right, we have a motion and a second to adopt the package of recommendations and to recommend the commission adopt the report. Is there any further discussion on the motion? And all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Very good. Good work on that. That was a good discussion.
So next steps is that, you know, we'll put together this final piece and post the work group's recommendations, which would be incorporated, as you see in the report, as an attachment with a complete set into the Board of Building Commission's recommendation on milestone inspection and structural requirements, which will be posted to BCIS, and the commission will take this up for adoption at their meeting next Tuesday, October 11th in Gainesville. As it sits now, this completes phase one. The work group will meet next on the 2nd of February, 2023. That date may or may not be, you know, may change based on what staff determines to initiate work on assignment two. As was done for assignment one, I think the plan would be for staff to contact the group prior to the meeting and provide a timeline for submitting initial options so that our first meeting, since we've kind of got the process down, we can hit it running and have a worksheet prepared for meeting one and start discussing strategies and options for assignment two. And as I think Mo read this previously, but assignment two is regarding working with the state fire marshal on a comprehensive structural life safety standards for maintaining inspections, and doing that next year with kind of a similar schedule, probably for our commission's October meeting in 2023 and going vetting it up through the system. Any questions on the next steps and what's next for the group in terms of the phase two, et cetera?
Hey, Jeff, could you pull up the agenda so we can take a look at that report? I just wanted to make them aware of a couple of things.
You want to look at the report itself?
Yeah, the draft that we had on there.
Right here. I have
yep.
it. Tell me where to go and I'll do it.
You can just go down a little bit. I just wanted to make you aware that for this draft that we posted to your agenda, we included a bunch of boxes that had the actual approved the recommendations in them, like right there. What we're going, Jeff, if you could scroll up a little bit.
Back to the front or further down?
Yeah, no, up. Yeah, go towards page 3. Nope, stop right there. Yep. So what we're going to do, instead of having the boxes in the final report, is that Jeff's final worksheet is going to be attached as an appendix. And in those annotations there, we're going to build in links to the relevant page of Jeff's final worksheet. So the like readers will just be able to click on those. And it'll take them to the recommendations.
Okay, so you'll have some sort of introduction to it, and then a link that will take you to it. So
yep,
forward. I can't think of the right word. Yeah. Okay. Is there anything else on that? You want to show anything else on this one, Tom?
I don't think so, unless anybody had any questions about the structure of the run of the rough board, or if they thought we missed something.
Okay. All right. Very good. Then I'm going to... Jim, I don't think I need to share the screen anymore. If you want to cut me off, is there anybody from the public who wishes to make any comments at this time? All right. Is there any work group or staff member who has any comments? All right, Chairman Schock, I'll turn it to you then to make any final comments and then adjourn it. I want to thank everybody for their hard work and good work. Jim, are you there? Jim Schock. Tom, you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I just got back. Quick break. I'm sorry.
Okay, I was just saying. I was just thanking everybody. I said I was turning it to you for final comments and then to adjourn us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do appreciate everybody's effort. I appreciate everybody's participation today. I know several people are signed up with the issues in Southwest Florida, so I appreciate you taking the time. And I think we did a good job. Thank you.
And just wanted to point out that we had 14 members voting on that, not 13. I forgot that Hannah joined us, so that's a 14 of 16, so that's really good. We'll go ahead and join us then, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so no further discussion. I think we can stay in the adjourned. Thank you again, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks, folks.
This conference.